So, again, I'm going to continue discussion on tomato grafting in terms of using rootstocks. And more focused on, rather than rootstock selections, more focused on the management systems using the grafted plants. I guess I don't need to say much about what is vegetable grafting. Basically follows the same principles as tree grafting. So really trying to combine the desirable traits from both rootstocks and the scions to actually achieve our production goal. So the primary use of grafting, or if you look at the history of vegetable grafting, where we got started really looking at using resistant rootstocks for controlling soil-borne diseases in vegetable crops. So again, really a number of soil-borne pathogens, including root knot nematodes, have been successfully controlled by using or by integrating grafting into the vegetable production systems. So again, grafted vegetables have been produced in many places around the world now. And in addition to disease management, literature, and of course the growers, and have also noticed that in the field, grafted plants tend to show improved or selected rootstocks. Plants grafted onto selected rootstocks, they actually sometimes show tolerance to environmental stresses, for example, low temperature and soil salinity and drought and flooding conditions in the field. And also they showed enhanced nutrient and water uptake, again, depending upon the rootstocks you're using. And overall, the plant growth is improved, and you can get yield increase as well. Sometimes you're getting extended harvest by using certain rootstocks. In terms of the rootstock effect on fruit quality, so Penny just gave a talk on watermelon grafting and quality. So in terms of the literature, you can actually find some mixed findings there in terms of the rootstock impact on fruit quality. Something that we did recently in terms of melon, some of you asked about off flavors. We did actually see some off flavors in our melon grafting research, depending upon the rootstock you're using, and also depending upon the scion you're using. So it's quite interesting. It's also quite complex in terms of the rootstock effect on fruit quality. So one of my PhD students who graduated last year, he did a 2-year study to look at how grafted tomato plants actually responded to different levels of nitrogen supply and water regimes. So we had 6 nitrogen rates and 2 irrigation regimes in this particular 2-year study in a fumigated conventional field in Live Oak, Florida. And we used Florida 47, grafted onto 2 rootstocks. Both are considered as interspecific hybrid tomato rootstocks, Beaufort and Multifort. So in this particular study, just try to summarize and, you know, to tell you why we're interested in this particular project looking at planting densities now. So grafting overall with those 2 vigorous rootstocks, they significantly increased total and marketable yields, in this particular case, over 27%. And we are observing the increased fruit number and also higher or greater average fruit weight by using grafted tomato plants in this particular study. And also, those 2 rootstocks we used, they significantly improved the irrigation water and nitrogen use efficiency in tomato production, again, in this particular fumigated conventional field using Florida 47, still a commonly used determinant tomato cultivar in Florida. So as part of that study, we also did some economic analysis, because really we always encounter that fact that, you know, in terms of the barrier for adoption is really the high cost associated with the grafted plants. So I'm just going to show you quickly here. The second year, we analyzed the production budget, grafted versus non-grafted tomato production. So as you can tell here, really the cost, okay, significantly increased by over $3,100, and plus a harvest, because we're seeing significant increase of yield, so you need more labor, right, and more supply to actually harvest the tomato. So we were counting that as well. And then the added cost per acre, you can see tremendous increase, over $5,000. But because of the marketable yield increase, and also depending upon the market price of the tomatoes, so we did the calculation in terms of the gross return and also the net return. And really surprisingly, or not too much surprising to us, is that actually if you look at the net return by using the graft plants, you're seeing the increase. Of course, the picture is rather complex depending upon the market price for that year as well. Fortunately, for that year, the market price was pretty nice, so that's the price we used for that year from the USDA website. So the challenge there, okay, talk about really the benefits of using grafting in vegetables, but again, the adoption here in terms of barriers. So among other factors here in terms of limitations, in terms of using rootstocks, really cost is the number one factor there in terms of limiting the use of grafting in the States, because again, when I talked to growers about grafting, the first response was, oh, well, is that too expensive to use in terms of the transplants? So again, want to mention this particular website really as a result of collaborative effort, and that really plays a very important role on that, vegetablegrafting.org. If you're interested to learn more about really the updated information about vegetable grafting, especially in the States, please visit that website. So from that research, we're asking the question, how can we reduce the cost of grafted vegetable production? We know that it adds on really tremendously amount of money per acre if you're using grafted transplants. So grafting technology has been really looked at in recent decades to try to make improvement in terms of reducing the cost of grafted transplants. So Cherry has done a lot of work in that as well. And then the question here we're trying to also answer is that how can we optimize the grafted vegetable production system and management in order to maybe we can actually decrease the production cost from the beginning. So here's the question we try to explore in this particular project. Can we decrease the plant population in the field production while maintaining the comparable yield, in this particular case, in comparison with the non-grafted vegetable production, to lower the cost, the total cost of using grafted transplants? So very simple objective here, to try to assess the yield performance of grafted tomato under different planting densities. So we have included five planting density or spacing treatments here. We focused on in-row spacing, and we kept the between-row spacing constant at 6 feet. And the in-row spacing, so I have some conversions here just to help you. So while we are actually increasing the spacing, we're actually decreasing the planting density. So keep that in mind. So while we're increasing the within-row plant space, within-row plant spacing, we're actually going to decrease the plant population. In other words, decrease the planting density in the field. So we focused on organic production systems because, again, I have seen a lot of interest, especially in our area in northern Florida, in terms of the use of grafted, particularly tomato plants, in the organic systems for disease management. So I really want to, you know, help the growers to evaluate this particular tool in their production system. So this particular research, we focused on organic. I'm going to present today focused on organic production. And we did two trials, one in fall of 2013. The other one, we just finished this past spring. Same location at the Plant Science Research and Education Center in Citra. And this particular field was infested by root-knot nematodes. So that really helped us to evaluate the use of rootstocks for controlling nematodes as well. And we used tomato cultivar, determinant cultivar called Tribut, and used two rootstocks, Multiford and RST04-106T from D. Palmer. Multifort is originally from the router. And we use non-grafted attribute as control. So speed plow design was used in both years. So we have spacing treatments placed in the whole plots, and the grafted versus the non-grafted control, they were in the subplots. Four replications and 10 plants per treatment in each replication. And in both trials, we had four harvests throughout the season, and the fruit were graded. And so we had, you know, marketable yield versus cost, and we could calculate the total yield as well. So we ran ANOVA and used Fisher's SD test for multiple comparisons. And if we're seeing spacing and treatment being significant, we also did regression analysis. Unfortunately, when we saw the yield data from last year, I got really excited because we're seeing some real interesting results there. So we were quite passionate about this particular trial in the spring. Unfortunately, we had Pythium problem in the field, so the plants actually got stunted, so the yield data were not really reliable in this particular case. We certainly will continue the study in the near future. So today I'm not going to present to you the 2014 yield data, so I'm going to rather focus on the 2013 fall trial. So this is the marketable fruit yield. So we're going to look at the per plant base first, and then looking at the per area or per hectare. So it's quite interesting, grafting and spacing, they show significant effect here on a plant per plant basis. So if we look at the rootstock effect here, so in both cases, both rootstocks, they help to significantly increase the per plant marketable yield. And in terms of the spacing, so we did the regression analysis to look at how per plant basis the yield would respond to different, those five spacing treatments or planting densities for grafted versus non-grafted. And it's quite interesting here because when we run the regression for non-grafted per plant basis, well, there was, the regression model was not significant. But if we look at both grafted treatments, well, the regression became significant. So you were seeing actually increase of marketable yield per plant as the planting density decreases or planting or plant spacing increases. Marketable yield per unit area. Well, in this particular case, spacing effect went away, so we didn't see significant spacing effect there while grafting remain to be significant. So in this case, again, per hectare hectare basis, both grafted treatments, they resulted in significantly higher marketable fruit yield compared to non-grafted. Again, the spacing, just want to show you, the spacing was not significant here, but it's actually a little interesting here because could see that for, again, the regression model was not significant, but there's some trend going on here, quite intriguing. So if you look at the non-grafted, you can see that per area basis, the marketable yield actually tend to decrease while we're actually increasing the spacing or decreasing the planting density. And same thing was kind of observed with the RSD rootstock. But if you look at the multifort grafted transplants, well, they actually showed a little increase there while the spacing increases or the density decreases, but again, the regression model was not significant. Well, in terms of the total yield, kind of similar pattern compared to marketable yield weight. So this is per plant basis, grafting and spacing effect, both significant, but no interaction. And again, the two grafted treatments significantly increase the per plant total fruit weight. And again, we're seeing similar results here. And if we look at the spacing, the yield response to the spacing treatments for the non-grafted control, the regression model was non-significant. But we're seeing this increase of total yield per plant basis while the planting spacing increases with the two grafted treatments. Well, for per unit area yield result, again, we didn't see significant effect due to spacing, while grafted plants showed significantly higher yield. But in this particular case, for total fruit yield per hectare, multi-fold grafted plants actually resulted in significantly higher yield than both the RST grafted plants and the non-grafted control. So this is the total fruit yield per hectare. Again, spacing effect was not significant, just to try to see how the data looked like. And there's, again, some similar trend as compared to the marketable yield. We're seeing decrease. Again, this is non-significant, but just, you know, based on the numerical data. So a trend there showing decrease of the yield per hectare as the spacing increases. Well, seems like the yield was kind of stable for the multifold in contrast to the RST grafted and then grafted in response to spacing. So marketable fruit number, quite similar to marketable yield data results. Again, on plant, per plant basis and per unit area basis. The total fruit number is quite is a little interesting here. So for per plant basis, quite similar to the total fruit yield. But if you look at the per unit area basis, actually spacing now in terms of the total fruit number became significant. So we looked at the fruit number response to spacing treatments. And for non-grafted control, actually we're seeing decrease. This is again per unit area for total fruit number. So as we're increasing the spacing, we actually seeing the reduction of total fruit number per unit area in non-grafted tomato plants. And same thing was observed with the RST grafted plants. And for multifold grafted plants, we're also seeing that trend in terms of decreasing. But again, the model was not significant. So average fruit weight, if we calculate that based on marketable yield, we didn't see any differences among the treatments. But if we calculate that based on the total yield data, we actually saw significant effects of grafting. So those two grafted treatments, they actually resulted in higher or greater average fruit weight. I want to mention that really the major reason for a marketable yield last year was due to insect damage. So we had caterpillars. So sometimes you just miss that. And, you know, it's just like you had a little hole there and we had to call it unmarketable. So that is why we want to look at the total yield as well in addition to marketable yield. So last piece of information for this particular trial, as I mentioned earlier, the field was infested with root knot nematodes. So at the end of the season, we evaluated the root knot nematode damage and we used a 0 to 10 rating scale. So higher number actually indicating more severe galling in the roots. So here, as you can tell, tribute was really severely infested by root knot nematodes, while multifold grafted and RST grafted tribute plants, they had much cleaner root system. And it's quite interesting here, really the RST grafted plants here, they, you know, the galling rating was close to zero. So really did not see much infestation going on at all, but multifold did show some root knot nematode damage. Okay, well, it's again very hard to make conclusions at this point, and we really want to continue the research in the near future to look at the management system for grafted plants. So we will try to continue to answer the question, can we reduce the planting density of grafted plants to achieve comparable yield? So based on this particular study, significant increase in marketable yield and total fruit yield, both per acre and per plant base, per hectare and per plant basis, seeing that increase by grafting, particularly with the multifold rootstock, and regardless of planting density, again in the root knot nematode infested field. Per plant fruit yield increased as planting density decreased in grafted plants. The per unit fruit yield tended to decrease in non-grafted plants and plants grafted with RST rootstock as planting density decreased. Well, we really have seen the effective use of resistant rootstocks in nematode management in this particular case, but we also wonder what is the contribution of the rootstock vigor to the yield improvement as shown in this particular study, because again, RST even showed greater resistance to the non-nematodes versus the multivore, but again, we're seeing multivore probably has a better potential in terms of reducing the cost of using graft transplants by decreasing the planting density when using the grafted plants. So I'm going to stop there. I want to acknowledge the funding from the SCRI grant and also Dr. Steve Olson and Bob McSorley for their great advice on this particular project, and the undergrad student helper, Dustin, who has been working hard with us as well. So thank you. We also did some measurement of the plant biomass at the end of the season. So we got the dry weight, above ground dry weight as well, but I didn't really show the data. So we have seen, you know, really the biomass accumulation in terms of the above ground, I'm talking about the vegetative, with the multivore, it was greater compared to, yeah. So, and also based on the pictures in the field, you could definitely see. And also one thing, that was the challenge with the fall trial, was that we had to finish or terminate the trial because of the freeze. So we had to finish the trial around Thanksgiving. And we did notice that multivore at that time, in our last harvest, it had tremendous amount of fruit. And we also felt bad because some of them were still quite small. So we felt like if they had longer time to develop, they probably will actually turn into marketable yield. But again, we had to terminate the trial because of the freeze damage. So in terms of the fertilization program, again, this is in certified organic system. So we had the pre-plant application of organic fertilizer. In this case, we used NatureSafe, granular organic fertilizer. And then we also fertigate with liquid organic fertilizer, which is a mixture of fish fertilizer and seaweed extract, I believe. So we didn't measure, no, we didn't really focus on the nutrition study, so we didn't measure the nitrogen content in the leaves or in the fruit. So we simply focused on plant growth and yield development in response to the spacing treatments. Cherry. That's a very good question. I have to go back to the data to, you know, examine those four harvests. But on average, you know, after conducting several trials of tomato, grafted tomatoes, we really have not seen like a significant delay of early yield or improvement of early yield. So, and sometimes that may also vary depending upon the scion you're using as well. Okay, any other questions? No, I think he left for another session. Yeah. Okay. Yes, that's the, yeah, to achieve desirable yield. Yeah. Yeah, that way you can actually use fewer plants per acre to reduce the total cost of transplants. So that's a way, you know, trying to reduce the cost of grafted tomato production in this particular case. And again, we don't have any recommendations right now, but, you know, there's some information out there from our research trials. You know, I really want to continue this particular research and maybe adding more scions and rootstocks. And like Matt mentioned, you know, to work with growers, because again, this is on-station trial. So we must share in the real world, you know, on farms, what's going to look like, so in terms of their management. Okay, well, I want to thank all the speakers again. Thank you. And thank you for attending this workshop.